Hello, I'm Janet.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are two girls and a bottle of wine.
Because men love booze.
And girls love wine. Happy Monday.
Monday fun day.
So I'm out of town right now, and we are pre-recording this show so that we don't miss a Monday, because we don't like missing Mondays.
Exactly. We're dedicated.
So again, Ashley is over the phone. And no one has complained yet, but if that causes you grief, let us know. You can email us at twogirlsinabottleofwine@gmail.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/twogirlsinabottleofwine. We're on Podbean at twogirlsinabottleofwine.podbean.com. We're on Spreaker at spreaker.com/twogirlsinabottleofwine. We're on Twitter at the @ the number 2 girls and wine. What am I missing, Ashley?
Instagram,
the number 2 girls and wine.
Pinterest,
but you can't really comment on Pinterest.
That's very true.
Yeah. So we're everywhere that you could really be. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher.
iHeartRadio.
So if you want to find us, you can find us. If you want to share us, you can share us. If you want to love us, well, we love love.
We do.
Yay. Okay, last week you introduced a new show to me called True Detective. I have never heard of this show, and I'm very sad that I haven't, because my man, who's not really my man, Matthew McConaughey, is in it.
And he's amazing in it. Like, he is phenomenal.
Before we get started on the show, did you watch the Golden Globes?
I did not watch the Golden Globes.
All right. When he accepted his trophy for his award, you know what he said?
Mm-mm.
All right.
Oh, love it. Joey does that.
I know.
It's my favorite.
I now think of Matthew McConaughey, and then I think of Joey when I hear that. We were in line getting funnel cake a couple weeks ago. Don't judge me. Funnel cake is bad. But once a year, it's okay. And the guy that was, like, making it and putting powdered sugar on it, he was like, all right. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. No.
I love it.
Yeah. So, and if you guys don't know what we're talking about, I'm sure you could Google Matthew McConaughey, all right. And when he says it, everything is okay with the world.
It's just amazing. Where is Matthew McConaughey from? He's definitely
Texas. Like,
it is Texas, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think he went to the University of Texas in Austin, but don't quote me on that.
Well, in this TV show, he's from Texas, too.
Well, that's awesome. So, I guess when I think of HBO, I think of Game of Thrones, which I don't watch.
Mm-hmm.
Boardwalk Empire, I don't watch. And then I guess there's another show on there called The Newsroom. I don't watch that either.
Isn't Girls on HBO, too?
Possibly. I put that on my DVR last year after it won a bunch of awards, and I never watched it.
So I don't like it, though, personally.
I finally deleted it.
When I think of HBO, I think of The Sopranos.
Right. I've never watched a show on HBO. I'm lame.
Really?
Yeah.
This could be your first.
Right. It's called True Detective, and we found five reasons why it might be HBO's next great drama. Are you ready?
We should give a little... Well, I guess it kind of goes into a little backstory on it.
Okay, so let's go through this list, and it'll kind of tell us a little bit more about the story and a little bit more why everyone should be watching.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you kick it off. You're the one that discovered this gem.
All right, so just to preface, it's Matthew McConaughey, but Woody Harrelson's also in it, who is another huge actor. And they play homicide cops, and this is only 4 episodes in now. Technically 3, but since we're pre-recording, by the time you guys hear this, 4 episodes in. So it's fairly new, and they're already saying it's going to be a great. And that's the first reason, is because the mystery is beside the point. So it is kind of a mystery show, but on the surface, it follows 2 Louisiana detectives, who are played by Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson,
mm-hmm.
and they investigate a ritualistic murder in 1995. But it also has flashes to 2012, where the two detectives are being questioned by cops about the case, which may not, in fact, be closed, even though they thought it was. It's by creator Nick Pizzolatto, who wrote for The Killing. And he said he is not as interested in identifying the killer here as he is in digging around the psyches of the two detectives. So Matthew McConaughey has like a stoic enigma with a really checkered past, and they slowly kind of unravel his past, so you learn a little bit more about Matthew McConaughey each week. And you also start to learn about the character played by Woody Harrelson, who, you know, it's, I don't want to give too much away, but you learn that he may not be kind of the family man that he pretends to be either. So, though we will probably eventually find out who committed these murders by season's end, that's not really the point. If the whole show is not about who did the murder, it's more about these two characters and getting to know them, and it's amazing.
I'm super excited. All right, so number two of why you have to get into this television show called True Detective on HBO is McConaughey knocks it out of the park, and I don't see him doing it any other way because that's how he is. He's poised to win an Oscar in a few weeks for his knockout performance in Dallas Buyers Club. So it sounds ridiculous to suggest that his True Detective performance might be even better, and yet it might be. As the 1995 Cole, is that how they pronounce it, Cole?
Yeah, that's his character.
Yeah. He's a force of nature, a relentless investigator who shed any semblance of a personal life or social niceties to chase down leads. As the 2012 Cole, he's a scraggly burnout. What's that mean? He's a scraggly burnout.
You kind of have to see the show to, like, so...
Oh, because his brain is fried.
Because it flashes back and forth. So by the time 2012 comes around, he's not really a detective anymore. He just looks like a drunk, basically.
Ooh, yuck. But anyway, so I'm excited to see his performance and see how amazing he is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go on to the next one.
The next one is that the dialogue puts most crime dramas to shame. So it's not limited to cop lingo and kind of, you know, quips over that are shared over a dead body. Cole, who's Matthew McConaughey's character, his chemical experimentation and personal tragedies, you learn, like I said, a lot about them, have left him with a bleak worldview, and he's prone to spout out a bleak existential musings about morality and religion.
Wow.
Yeah, it's definitely, kind of, like I said, it's I hate to classify it as a detective show because I'm not into mystery detectives, but this show is, like I said, a number one. It's not just about solving the murder. It's about so much more.
Interesting. And number four, it's set in a world we don't often get to see on TV. Like last year's imports, Broadchurch and Top of the Lake, True Detective transcends the cop show genre by rooting its mystery in a specific and vivid sense of place. Detective is set and filmed in the rural towns of southern Louisiana, and it feels a world away from the slick urban settings of other crime detective shows, like the NCIS, the CSIs, and the Law and Orders and stuff like that.
Right. It's definitely a backwoods show takes place there. And number five, rounding on the list, is it's as close to TV gets to auteur cinema. So most TV is written by committee and directed by a different hired person each week. But every single one of True Detective's eight episodes was written by Pizzolatto and is also directed by the same person, Fukunaga. And so that unusual arrangement gives the series a consistent style and tone, which makes it feel more like an eight-hour movie than an episodic series. And I will say that that's true. Like, when you're watching it, when the episode ends, I'm like, wait, I need more. And then when the next episode comes out the following week,
mm-hmm.
It's definitely, like, it's not like a Grey's Anatomy where it's like, you know, where each episode is kind of a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. And each season of True Detective is going to be self-contained. So it's going to be kind of American Horror style.
Mm-hmm.
Where each season kind of is a standalone season. It doesn't tie into each other.
I'm very excited. I hope that our listeners are excited as well, because it sounds like a fun show. And hopefully, I'm saying hopefully a lot. Hopefully we can get caught up, like, since I've missed a few.
Yes.
Like, do you think I'll be able to catch that, like, on DirecTV or something?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so if you're trying to watch the show, it airs on Sundays at 9 Eastern on HBO. So for those of us in Denver, it does air here at 7.
Hmm. That's early enough, like on a school night, right?
Yep.
So.
And it's an hour long show.
Yay. All right. Now, speaking of celebrities, when you think of celebrities, or at least when I think of celebrities, I think of like party hard, have fun all the time. They don't have your typical 8-to-5 job. They're not stuck in a cubicle or at their computer all day, right?
Right.
So you sent me this article about celebrities that don't drink. Well, my boyfriend, he's a comedian, and he's out in clubs all the time, and he doesn't drink. And I remember when I first found that out, I was like, I don't understand. You know? But there are a lot of celebrities who don't drink.
And I just feel like we're always hearing about these train wreck celebrities, and it's
Justin
kind of nice
Bieber,
to know.
What?
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan, Miley, the list goes on and on. It was nice and refreshing to see this list, and it kind of, because there's some, these are not people that are, like, not in the spotlight anymore. Like, these are relevant people, and I was pleasantly surprised by a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I'm going to start off the list here, and we'll just run through it kind of quickly
okay.
as my iPad will scroll. Heavens to Betsy. Number one, Bradley Cooper.
Yep. Number two is Jennifer Hudson.
And, you know, she lost a lot of weight. I totally see how drinking would help with that. Oh, you give me that name. Number three, Joe, what's his last name, Ashley?
Manganiello.
I thought maybe coming from where you come from, you would know how to pronounce that. Anyway, all right, number four, go ahead.
Number four is Blake Lively.
We love her.
And considering she played Party Girl Serena on Gossip Girl.
I know. That's even crazy. And she's so beautiful. She was my Woman Crush Wednesday a few weeks ago.
I love her.
Number four is shocking to me. Is Russell
me
Brand.
Too.
Like, he seems out of his mind anytime I see him.
And so, this year, actually, in December, just so this past December, he celebrated 11 years of being sober.
Wow. Congratulations to him. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, the next one?
Number six is Edie Falco.
Awesome. Number seven, Kim Kardashian. So she's just naturally crazy.
Mm-hmm. Number eight is Christina Ricci.
Number nine, Matthew Perry, which he's been in and out of rehab for, like, Vicodin. So that's probably good that he's not drinking.
Yep. Number 10 is Kristen Davis.
She's beautiful as well.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11, Eminem.
Yep. Number 12 is Jennifer Lopez.
Number 13, Ewan McGregor.
Number 14 is Kim Cattrall.
That's two of the Sex and the City girls.
I know, and all they do is drink on that show.
I know. Number 15, Colin Farrell. He has been 7 years sober. Because I remember him having some issues back in the day.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these kind of, they talk about how they either had issues and overcame them, or realized that drinking was going to affect their career or things like that. So a lot of, these are very smart people that have either overcome it or don't want to let it affect their lives.
Right.
And number 16 is Kelly Osbourne. She's also one of them who had been to rehab a few times.
And so is number 17, Mr. Keith Urban. He no longer drinks.
And number 18, Jada Pinkett Smith.
She's beautiful. I want to look that good when I'm her age.
Yeah, right?
Number 19, Gerald Butler.
I love him. And number 20 is Tyra Banks.
Gosh, this list is much longer than I anticipated. Number 21, Tobey Maguire. He lays off the sauce.
Number 22 is Rob Lowe.
Number 23, Eva Mendez.
And I was shocked by this one. Number 24 is Kat Von D.
Right, she totally looks like a party girl. So you can't judge a book by its cover, right?
That's true.
All right, number 25, Robert Downey Jr. Again, like I know he had substance abuse issues back in the day.
Number 26 is Jack Osborne. So maybe they took a page, you know, learning from kind of their father, because they both overcame battles, both Kelly and Jack did.
Right, right. Number 27, Tim McGraw. And he said it's a personal choice for his daughters.
Good for him. Number 28 is Ben Affleck.
The last one. So that's 28 celebrities, which a lot of those surprised me. If I didn't know that some of them had issues before, like, I think there would be more shock, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So Steve travels a lot, and I look forward to his traveling only because I get caught up on housework. Is that weird?
No, I do the same thing. I clean so much more when Joey's not around.
Yeah, it's so much. Well, like, Steve's around, and I'm like, let's go out and have fun.
Right. Well, my philosophy is not that. My philosophy is, like, if you get to be on the couch relaxing, I want to be on the couch relaxing.
Right.
That seems fair, right?
Right. And so I found this article, and I'm like, we have to share, because I know women everywhere can relate to this, because women love to clean. And I found a list of 7 reasons why we love to clean.
So I don't know that I would classify myself as somebody that loves to clean, just somebody that knows it needs to be done.
Right. But you, like, take it beyond just your normal cleaning. Like, you, like, deep clean a lot.
I do.
All right. So let's, why don't you start us off?
So number one is it's a reflection of self. Totally. In our society, there's a great pressure. We talked about this a couple weeks ago on women to look good. And so the female psyche takes this as not only relating to the way she presents herself to the world, but also in other aspects of her lifestyle. So one of the reasons women love to clean is that it's in kind of a natural extension of who she is as a person. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to others of how she looks after herself. So a woman who takes care of her appearance extends the same courtesy to her home.
There you go. Number 2, I can totally relate to this. It's calming. It's no joke that some therapists recommend cleaning as a therapeutic task to some of their clients. Yeah. Apparently, there's a mental connection women make between cleaning up the house and cleaning up their psyche. Makes sense.
Very true. Whenever I get mad, I usually walk to the kitchen and start scrubbing dishes.
There you go. All right. Number three. Yeah.
Is that it provides a sense of achievement. So cleaning is something that's easy. I don't know about easy. And it has an end product that's observable.
It's so easy in comparison to other things you could do.
Right. And they put it into perspective of, you know, you're having a bad day at work. Nothing's gone right. Maybe, you know, things were projected or you didn't get the promotion. But when you clean, you have an instant achievement because you kind of sense that accomplishment of, now your kitchen's bright and shiny, or, you know, and no one can take that away from you.
Right. Number 4, it boosts our mood. I actually believe cleaning is the opposite of, like, the negativity, the failure, because you really can't go wrong when it comes to cleaning. You start cleaning, and when you get done, it's always going to make you feel better. It's always going to boost your mood, no matter what's happening in your world, you know?
Right.
Yeah. All right. So the next one
is it reduces stress. Definitely. So again, all those things tied in, you know, the fact that it's calming, it boosts your mood, it provides a sense of achievement, all of those tie in to reduce your stress.
Yep. And life is way stressful these days. I think it's just getting older, but
take it out on the kitchen.
Yeah. Take it out on the kitchen. Number 6, it's a form of meditation, right? Wow.
Yep.
Learn to read, Janet. So it's like They're saying it isn't sitting like zen-like in a quiet corner with water fountain tinkling away and incense burning, but one of the fundamental reasons women love cleaning is that it's easy to float away to a sense of calm purely by doing the mind-numbing acts that are household chores. And I don't know if you're like me, but I love to blast the music. I kind of go into my own little world, my own thoughts, and I'm cleaning my little heart out.
That's me too, and I also think it's very hard to have my brain functioning and thinking deep thoughts when I'm scrubbing a toilet.
That's true. That's so true.
Number 7, last on our list, is it puts you in control. So it kind of sums up everything, and it's a huge comfort factor in cleaning, is because we never feel out of control. You don't have to think about how to do it. You don't have anyone to judge your results. You can do it anytime that you want. There's really no set rules to it. So it's one of the things that's kind of also totally liberating.
It is. It is. So us women, we're just pretty complicated. So I think we should stick with that theme. And there's a lot of things that as women, we just need to let go and get over with. Get over it, you know?
Agreed.
Let go and get over it. Yes. So let's run through some things that as women, we think we need to get over.
And we need to post this list on our Facebook because I absolutely loved this article.
Excellent. All right, number 1, stop worrying about where your friends are in their lives compared to yours. I want to say it was probably about 5 years ago. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was going through a breakup. I'm 27 years old. All my other friends are getting engaged, getting married, having babies, and I am ending a relationship. I found myself doing this. And you can't do that because nobody is the same. Nobody lives the same life. And you just have to realize that.
And I think that's very, very hard to do. I mean, you know, I struggled with this up till recently. And I think that especially because socially we're so active in everybody's lives nowadays because of Facebook and social media, mm-hmm. It makes it really hard to not compare.
And you actually thought about getting off of social media, didn't you?
I did. I did consider it.
Are you still considering it?
I am every now and again. There are definitely times. I mean, it becomes hard to not let other people's negativity get to you. It also becomes really challenging, like I said, to not compare, especially when everybody's posting everything they do in life out there.
Right. Yep. All right, number two,
love handles, bikini bridges, thigh gaps, muffin tops, gap teeth, skinny arms, bubble butts, etc. These things aren't anything to be ashamed of. If you hate it, work to change it. If you love it, then own it. These terms are nothing more than kind of the new catchy names that have just come out for the body.
It's true. If you hate it, change it. If not, love it.
Yeah, I'm all about owning it.
Number 3, I'm bad at this, an unflattering photo of yourself online. Don't dwell. Just move on. There's going to be more good photos. You just have to accept that not all of them are perfect.
Yes. I think for me, it's motivation to
do better next time?
Yeah, exactly.
I understand.
So right. I thought this one was perfect for you. Number 4, taking a day off at work. Health day is a real thing, especially when you have a particularly grueling job.
I can't do it.
But if you spend a whole day obsessing over what you're missing, then you should have just gone to the office.
I'm bad at this? Really? You're the worst.
I know that I am too, but I'm just saying.
You threw that at me, but that's totally you.
Don't worry, no one ever got fired for having a legitimate excuse and taking a day off.
It's true. Especially if you have the vacation time.
Yeah, it's there to use it. Use it.
Number 5, being single. Don't sweat it. You're going to find someone. I tell my single friends this all the time who are, you know, trying online dating or trying to, like, date and they keep running into duds. You know, the best time to find someone is when you're not looking. And I know that's a cliche, but guess what? It's totally true.
And it's funny because I know multiple people who have signed up for online websites And once they start going through the motions of meeting people online, they actually end up meeting somebody offline because they're no longer stressing about it.
Right. All right, the next one.
The next one, this is perfect for me, is skipping the gym one day. So things come up. Life's unexpected, and it's better to be the person who canceled plans to walk on the wild side than to walk the treadmill.
Yeah, life. There's lots of living in life. Sometimes you got to skip the treadmill or the elliptical.
Agreed.
Number 7, stop hating other girls. Flat out hating is just a waste of energy on someone you don't even like, and it doesn't make you as a person any better. Provided you still show this girl respect, it's okay not to get along with her. You don't want to hear it, but this includes your ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend. I thought that was funny. Or your boyfriend's ex-girlfriend. Yeah, that too.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you have to feel obligated to be everyone's best friend.
Right.
But you need to stop sipping on haterade.
Hater. You've admitted it. You got to work on that, Ashley.
Hey, the first step is admitting you have a problem.
We've made it that far.
The next 10 steps are going to take a little while.
Right.
Number 8 is the texture of your hair or a bad haircut.
That's hard, man. When was the last time you had a bad haircut?
I haven't.
Ever?
I can't think of a haircut that I regretted.
Wow.
Or, I do remember having, hair literally down to, almost my butt, and I chopped it all the way up to, my shoulders. And I don't know that it was a bad haircut. I did love it, but I definitely took a while to be like, oh, my God, I just chopped off all my hair.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that I regret it.
I've had a bad hair color. When I first moved to Denver, it took me a long time to find a girl that would actually do what I wanted. And I had really short hair, and to find a lady that would not make me look as though I played softball. And I was dating a softball player at the time. So I totally am speaking from knowledge, not being stereotypical. It took me a lot. Now I have the perfect hair girl. She knows what I want, and I'm growing my hair out because I trust her, and the color's great. But I remember coming home and crying. It was horrible.
And it definitely, that's always my biggest, I know it probably should be finding a reputable doctor, but I never worry about that. I figure I'll find one of those eventually. My biggest fear when I move is, oh my God, I have to find a new hair person. And I loved my person back east. And, you know, it did take me, I want to say, a good 6 months. I was desperate for a haircut, to the point where I was tempted to fly back home just for, a long weekend to get it done.
Oh, my gosh.
And I found somebody, and I absolutely love her now. And to the point where if I move now, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Don't think about it. You found a girl here.
I know. But I do the opposite. I always complain about the texture of my hair all the time.
Really? I've never heard anyone complain about that.
You never complain, oh my God, my hair's too thin or too curly, or I wish it was straight.
I do have curly hair, but I think I've just accepted it, and I've learned how to, I don't know.
Oh, no. All my cousins that had curly, thick hair wanted mine, and I always wanted theirs. I always complain about my hair's texture. But number 9 on the list, and this is definitely a good one, is what some stranger thinks of you. You can't go through life trying to please everybody, or you'll never please yourself. Some days you're going to be a total monster, and unfortunately there will be someone to catch you at your worst. We're all human. That's something that even a random person understands. So brush it off and move on with your life.
See, the most embarrassing thing that's happened to me last, I fell down a flight of stairs in Vegas. And I remember, at first, I was like, oh my gosh, so embarrassed. And then I'm like, wait a second, nobody here knows me. I'm cool. I'm fine. Nothing got broke. Steve wasn't there to witness it. So get up and move on. And I think that comes with age, don't you?
Yeah, you remember, I walked into the pole walking into the Denver Broncos to meet you guys. And Joey said, the one thing I loved about it is that you laughed. The whole crowd was because it was a big crowd walking to the stadium, and, people were making jokes. I just laughed at it, because, what else was I going to do? I was in so much pain at that point. I could have just there was nothing else I could have done except laugh at myself.
Good job. Good job. All right, number 10, what you ate. Announcing that you ate a croissant for breakfast won't change or justify the amount of calories you consumed. We need to stop tying our emotions like guilt or elation to what we choose to eat. Only in girl world do we take 10 minutes to comfort each other by sharing stories about the slice of pizza we shamelessly ate at the catered lunch. We do that all the time at work. You know that.
We always be like, we avoided the donuts. Or, don't judge me. That was our key phrase. Don't judge me. But.
Yeah. So bad.
All right. Number 11 is an awkward sexual encounter or bad date. Maybe it was your partner. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was both of you. But not every romantic experience is going to leave you fulfilled. Some are actually probably going to horrify you. But those are the ones that end up making the best stories.
Yes. Okay. All right. Number 12, hating or liking sports. Okay, I hate sports. Steve hates sports, so that's why we get along. You like sports.
I do. Joey likes sports. That's why we get along.
And we can still be friends.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, people will razz Steve because he doesn't like sports. He's not obsessed with the fact that the Broncos are going to the Super Bowl. We're actually driving down the road a couple weeks back, and he's like, why do people have their Christmas lights up still? And I'm like, babe, those are blue and orange. Yeah. And he's like, okay. I was like, the Broncos are going to the Super Bowl. He's like, oh, that's a good thing, right? And I was like, I guess. He's so clueless.
I just think that I kind of, and maybe like you think this way too, like I separate my friends. Like I know that I have certain friends that are the ones I'm going to call if I want to go shopping, mm-hmm. get a manicure, pedicure, and then I've got other friends that are down to go to a baseball game or, you know, do things like that. So I know that, I know who my friends are, and I don't judge them for not, you know, sharing the same things I share.
Right. That's awesome about life. Everyone's different. All right. The next one
is tying your self-worth to a man. There's a fine difference between having a boyfriend for companionship and having a boyfriend to make you feel better. You don't need a guy to tell you you're beautiful. It feels nice, but it feels even better when you can tell it to yourself.
That is so true. So true.
That's an easier said than done one. I totally remember. I think that that's another one that gets easier with age.
Right.
But it is hard.
It is. It is. That you want that validation.
Knock it down on yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to shorten this list to 14. At number 14, being something you're not. If you aren't chill, you aren't chill. If you're a total freak, you're a total freak. Who cares? When you turn down a whiskey on the rocks, don't think twice about it because it might not be your thing. Strive to be the best version of yourself instead of everyone else.
I definitely agree.
And I think a girl that I work with that you used to work with, Christy, she is great at that. I kind of envy her style when it comes to that.
Yep, the whole this is me. And I think that that's another thing, again, that gets easier with age. I know that for me, I went through, I know you know me as, Miss Social, Miss, let's go do this. Like, I'll be the first one, life of the party, you know, I'll be the first one on stage dancing. But for a really long time, I was so worried about what people would think of me that I was the quiet girl in the corner of the bar.
Wow.
I know. Until finally I was like,
I can't picture that, man.
I know. And then I finally had to be like, you know what? This isn't me. Like, this is not who I am as a person. And I think that especially girls kind of go through those stages of finding yourself. And it's a challenging thing to do.
It is. It is. Did you want to do number 15? You can do it.
Number 15?
Okay, you go, girl.
Number 15 is watching porn.
What?
So it says it's no longer taboo for a woman to watch it. We all know we secretly love the sex scenes in our favorite movies, like Magic Mike, Sex and the City.
No. Yep.
So we'll leave it at that.
That's a great way to leave that. All right. Well, we're going to scoot on out of here. Thanks again for joining us. Ashley, maybe next week you could maybe be in the studio.
Yeah, maybe if we're not living in the middle of a polar vortex, we can work our way in.
And maybe if I'm in town, which I plan to be. But we'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.